Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers and all children of God who attended the worship online, this is the 7th lecture on Genesis. Genesis chapter 3:1 is the crafty word of that Satan spoke through the serpent to tempt Eve. Let's go over the intention of Satan as we look into the tone of a voice. Many people who dwell in the darkness or untruth just tempt you and lead you to the death, finally to hell. That is their duty. When the serpent said that, has God said, it asked the question too bluntly. The serpent's tone was informal to Eve without noticing. After spending so much time together, it had eased to talk to her casually. As Eve was being drawn into the closer relationship with the crafty serpent, she didn't realize the serpent's change in arrogance. She didn't even correct it, even though the serpent defied the order. As a result, Satan was able to extend its influence, and Eve was tempted. As you know from the second chapter of the Genesis, it was Adam who was given the order not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. All the animals in the Garden of Eden should keep the order given to Adam because God gave Adam the authority to rule and subdue the Garden of Eden. But it was to Eve the serpent asked the question. It was Adam himself who had listened to God, but the serpent asked Eve the question as if God had talked to Eve. Why was the breaking the order? It's because the serpent caused the woman to temporarily forget that she was under Adam's authority. The intention was to make her feel as if she were she were equal with him. Then Eve changed the word of God and gave the answer, which caused her to eventually to be deceived. Let me give you a simple example for your better understanding. Let's say a man called A is given very important instructions from his boss. He mentions it to B, who is close associate. Soon C, person C, also comes to know a little bit about it. Now, C, person C wants to know more about it, and so he asked B, did the boss say this? C think B got the instruction directly from the boss. At the moment, B should not say yes, because C will be confused that it was indeed B was given the instruction from the boss. B must say, I'm not the one who was given the instruction. It is A, and I only just hear it from him. This is the mark of the true person. You are not responding with amen, but I see many in your lives having done this. If person B is likely to brag himself and show off to others, he would say yes. Moreover, he might add his own thought to the will of the boss. Even in tonight's scripture is in this same situation. The serpent asked Eve the question in a manner like this. Did God directly talk to you and say? The serpent lifted Eve to the same position as Adam. Then Eve replied as if she herself had been directly given the order from God. She even added her own thought and changed the word of God. Eve didn't break order on purpose, but she unintentionally crossed the line. Dear brothers and sisters in the Christ, now let's take a look how Eve replied. Genesis chapter 3:2 says, "The woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the tree of the garden, we may eat.'" If Eve had put the word of God into her heart and her heart wasn't shaken by this delusion, she wouldn't have replied this way. She should have sent into the scheme of Satan and refuted it with the word of God. The reason she replied like this, however, was that she had an intention to show that she earned recognition. Don't misunderstand from this verse through that Eve had an evil heart about boasting. She didn't have evil in her heart at the time, but she had her free will to express herself as she did. Let me explain her situation with an analogy. There is a boy who has a strong pride, and you say to him, "You can't even do this, huh?" Then he will not admit that he cannot do it. He will rather say, "I can do it. I can even do it that." He will not admit his inability, and at the same time, he would rather try to show he is more capable. It's the same with a grown-ups. When a man of a strong pride has his shortcoming pointed out, he usually doesn't readily admit it. Rather, he tried to make his strong points known. It's difficult for such a people like this to change. The same goes with Eve. When the serpent said to her, "Indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" She said in reply, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat." When she replied like this, she relaxed her guard pertaining to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil without her realizing it, as she emphasized that she could eat the fruit of the tree of the Garden of Eden. In fact, the fact was blurred in her heart that the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was an exception. Now, what about our Lord Jesus? Before Jesus began his public ministry, he was tempted by the devil 3 times. When the devil tested the Lord with crafty words, Jesus refuted them with the word of God. It was when Jesus was hungry after fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Matthew chapter 4:3 says, "And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.'" Jesus was in a situation that it could seem that he was not the Son of God if he didn't turn the stones into the bread right now. At the same time, if Jesus did what the devil told him to do, it could seem that he obeyed the devil. It would make him a slave to the devil. If you don't recognize such a weakness in the scheme of the devil, you will be easily deceived. If you have any desire to show off or boast or any pride about anything like that, you are likely to fall for it. But Jesus firmly rejected it with the word of God. But he answered and said, "It's written, man shall not live on the bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." He even didn't say, "Of course I can do it," or, "Don't you know that I do have such a power to do it?" Jesus didn't have the heart to flaunt his ability at all. Likewise, even if someone talked to you in a way of daring you to something, you should not be deceived. It is meaningless whether others recognize you or not. You should consider the righteousness before God who searches your inner heart. Also, when someone speaks a falsehood, you must be able to discern correctly in the light of the word of truth. You should be also able to wake him up in the spirit. This does not mean that you should always scold or speak firmly to the person. If he has a weak faith, he doesn't know the truth, and thus you should explain it slowly so that he can understand better. However, if he is in a position where he should not talk like that, or if he is considered to have a faith, you should make him correctly understand. It is because other members may be affected by this one person. Eve didn't possess the ability to see through the wicked scheme of the serpent, and so she was led to the way Satan planned. And eventually she changed the word of God who forbid the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. She said, as written in the Genesis chapter 3:3, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it or you will die. Did God say this? No. But she says that God said so. Now Eve is changing the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that she heard from God by adding to it and taking away from it. It means that she didn't put the word of God into her heart well. What did God say? God said, as written in the Genesis chapter 2:17, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. Do you know what's wrong? What is different? What God said means that there's no way to live again. He said you will surely die. On the other hand, what Eve said means that she will die or possibly will not die. And she said, of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, she said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, or you will die. To this word, Eve added, not touch it. Moreover, God said, you will surely die, but she changed it, said that you will die. And furthermore, God didn't say, you should not touch it. When we communicate, we must convey every word accurately. Otherwise, the meaning may change and the speaker's intentions may be misinterpreted. Failure to convey accurately can lead to misunderstandings. When compared to you will surely die, what When compared to you will surely die, what Eve said to means you might die or maybe not. As she replied like this, she was eventually trapped in a snare that Satan had set. In order not to be ensnared by Satan, you should correctly understand the word of God. You should not just know it roughly. It's especially so when it's the world related to the salvation, you should correctly make a bread from these words and never be deceived, no matter how craftily Satan tried to tempt you. Some people simply overlook this information because they don't fully understand it, while others interpret it to their own benefit. Some even end up committing the sin that led to death, thinking, it's okay, it's trivial. Eve didn't remember that God said, you will surely die, and she was eventually led to death. The spiritual communication with God was disconnected, and she was driven out to this land, earth. She, of course, repented later on and received the salvation. The same will apply to you. The Bible, which is the Word of God, recorded a sin that caused you not to be saved and that led to death. And I explained them to you so that you could understand easily. Those of you, servant of God, and the workers who teach the Word of God should arm yourselves especially well with the world. You may commit a sin that leads to death by the misunderstanding the truth, or you may lead others to hell. Therefore, you must know the Word of Life accurately and arm yourself with it to avoid such incidents. It's because it's up to you whether a soul may be go to heaven or suffer in hell. Living a life of faith half-heartedly can lead to hell. We need to know the Word accurately and live righteously, but many people still roughly understand the truth. This should never be allowed. Jesus compared those who do not spiritually understand God's word to blind people. If the servant of the workers of the Lord are spiritually blind, they will not be able to properly lead the flock entrusted to them. Not only will you fall into pit yourself, but you will also cause your flock to fall into it. If God says, do not do this, if you do, you will die, then that's absolutely truth. But the servant of God distorted these words and said, this is okay. Even if you did something you were told not to do, if you repent, God will forgive you. Just don't do it next time. What's the big deal? Everyone else does it, so what? If you see the world like, so what? So be it. What will be the result of the treating God's word so lightly? Since he himself believes that, he will naturally go to hell, and those who teach and are taught this way will also go to hell. This is what I mean. The blind led the blind. Not only the servant of God himself, but also the souls entrusted him may end up on the path to death if he is not careful. The Bible repeatedly contains a phrase like do not and the throw away. Why would God include such a word so often in the precious book? Because these things should never be done and must be thrown away. Even if it's emphasized once, the judgment will definitely be made according to the word. And if it's emphasized multiple times, whether in the Old Testament or the New Testament, then it is 100% conformed. Even if it's the once mentioned in the Bible, it will be taking place 100 according to that word. But if it's emphasized several times, it's more important. And of course, it's natural that you will be judged according to the word. Because if a warning has written it down multiple times, you should never do that and should just throw it away. Otherwise, you may fall away from the salvation and end up in eternal death. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made a partaker of the Holy Spirit, and if you are not beginner, if you are at level 2 or higher in faith, you will all experience this. You've been enlightened once, tested the heavenly gift, been partakers of the Holy Spirit, received the Holy Spirit, and the good word of God. And have tested the good word of the God. Those who love the world are deceived by the world and fall into the world, those who have turned away from God, those who do not keep the Sabbath or Sabbath Sabbath, and those who do not pay a full tithe have sold their faith. If you sell your faith, you won't keep it. If you keep the Sabbath law but sell your faith, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance. You cannot repent because God does not give you the spirit of repentance. Since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put Him to open shame. And Hebrews chapter 10, 26, for if we go on a sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. You always learn what the truth is and what God's will is. There's no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. This means that even though you know it is a sin, you committed the sin again and again. Even though you know it the sin, you committed the sin on purpose. This means that there's no forgiveness of a sins because the spirit of a repentance is not given. There's no sacrifice for sins. It means. But the terrifying the expectation of the judgment, people like this can only wait for judgment. And the you always learn, don't you? There are sins that cannot be forgiven. The Old Testament, of course, contained many warnings against praying for such a people. But the New Testament also clearly states this. Don't pray for those who have committed a sin that lead to death. Why? Because the prayers for them are useless. It's not forgiven if a person who has a knowledge of the truth commits a sin deliberately. Among this, which sins fall under these categories are clearly described in the Galatians, such as Chapter 5, 19 to 21. Now the deeds of the flesh are evidence of the which I forewarn you is different from other sins, which are the immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissension, factions, envying, darkness, drunkenness, carousing, and the things like this. There are many more besides those recorded here, things like that. Just as I've forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You won't inherit the kingdom of God. That means you won't go to heaven. Conversely, you will end up in hell. It's all perishable and worthless, really. After some time to have a past, reflect on it. If you love the world in the time you spend, if you wasted your time on useless things, then what good did it do you? Consider that even though I've eaten a life, I'm taking what God hates and the devil loves. How fatal it is. There are those who have received the Holy Spirit and experienced the grace, not those who are new to the flesh. So they are not new believers. Even those who have experienced the grace and know the word of the truth well will not inherit the kingdom of God if they committed the sins. They will not reach heaven, for they will not be given the spirit of the repentance, as if they were crucifying the Son of God and putting Him to the open shame. Just as Eve corrupted God's word, it's not you may not inherit the kingdom of God, but absolutely not inherit. Dear brothers and sisters, I hope that you can hear well and understand correctly not only the word of God, but also the word delivered from this altar by the shepherd. All of you do listen to the world. There are people, however, who interpreted it to their own discretion and pass it down to the others. Senior pastor says so because of this and that reason, so you don't need to do exactly the way he says. Don't be deceived by those who talk to you like this. Even though you are not a novice Christian, if you are deceived by the listening to such a word, you should admit that you have a heart not to live by the world. One more thing you should bear in mind in that you should be truthful when having a conversation, especially when talking about someone else. You should not mix it with your own thought, feelings, or judgment. A man of goodness should not be considered as a man of the evil because you don't convey word correctly. You may misrepresent a good person as a bad person. I must listen to both sides and make my own judgment. I never listen to one side and say, "Oh, really?" You should never agree to only one side of a story. Through countless experience for a long time, I've learned that believing one side of a story often leads to misjudgment, and it leads to judging and condemning. This is the sin. An evil man should not be considered a good man either. Until you cast off evil completely from your heart, you cannot discern the other's heart 100%. Therefore, if you don't have the heart of the Spirit, you should not recklessly talk about others. In case you have to convey word regarding someone, you should do only what you see and hear. If you omit or add even one word, the contents will be distorted. If you don't have a confidence to do that, don't even try to convey about others. We should not judge and condemn by the adding thought or feeling and the saying, "It would happen like this." However, doesn't that happen all around us? Even if you should do it, do so with kindness and love so as not to harm the other person. Ephesians chapter 4, 29 says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will grace to those who hear." It says you should not let foul words come out of your mouth. It tells us not to even speak words that are not true, saying, "But only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." I said that I hope that what from your lips can bring grace and that those who listen to you and also encourage them. You should not be ensnared like Eve, and at the same time, you should not make others stumble because of what you say. When you hear words that judge and condemn, you stumble. This leads to misunderstandings and a wrong perception of others as bad people. You should not listen to words that judge and condemn others, nor listen to words of the people who are jealous and envious. People who are jealous and envious do not report things as they are, so what they say is not true. They tend to express and spread bad things, so you should be wary of such a people and not listen to them. I hope that I hope that you can speak only the word that can build a virtue and that brings a grace upon others. Dear brothers and sisters, let me conclude it. In this lecture, I explained how Eve was deceived at the crafty question of Satan. In this end of time, when sin and evil are rampant, Satan is working more craftily. Satan set the snare so that you can be easily ensnared if you are not always awake in spirit. Even if you are a child of God, as long as you have untruth in your heart, Satan tries to take advantage of it and make you fall down. Please remember that Satan can accuse you on a ground of the world you may easily speak. The problem is that you judge and condemn others, and then you don't remember what you said. You are now in trials, tribulation, or serious illness because of the evil words you spoke, but you cannot remember them, so you cannot repent. It's truly serious not to be able to repent. You consider yourself a good Christian who has lived according to the world, not knowing what to repent? Because we've gone against the truth. Sickness, trials, and the tribulation will surely come. Of course, there are also trials and the tribulation that are meant to bring blessing, but most of them come as a result of a sin. You must not speak lightly, for Satan can sue you for a single word you utter. Since Satan works like this, however, you may have a chance you discover the untruth in your heart and get rid of it. You've hatred in your heart, but if you don't discover it because nothing stirs it up to be revealed, will it be good? Since you don't realize you've hatred in your heart, you cannot get rid of it. As long as you've hatred in your heart, Satan will do everything to make you reveal it outwardly and put it into a word or an action. The goal of Satan is to make you commit a sin like this. But you can rather realize your true self, repent, and pray fervently to cast off hatred. You will then eventually cast off hatred, envy, and jealousy. Hatred is a big root of a sin. If you pull out one of this, the smaller roots remaining are also pulled out. In other words, if you let go of hatred, envy, and jealousy will also be let go. Jealousy and envy are quite a big sinful nature. The first sin that entered mankind was envy and jealousy, and this led to murder. So in the end, the hatred is abandoned, and the many roots of the sin that come with them are also pulled out from your heart. Judgment, condemnation, gossip, all these things are cast aside. If you don't hate anyone and love them, you wouldn't judge, condemn, or gossip. All these evils are cast away. The sad Satan is actually playing a role in making the children of God get sanctified. As a result, because of Satan, God's children are quickly abandoning the flesh and diligently going to the Spirit, becoming holy. It would be good if Satan's obstruction could actually be a catalyst, but most people fall into the delusion and the fall. Those who fall for Satan and ended up in hell are so pitiful. They are truly such a pitiful people. So how foolish Satan is. May you quickly cast off a flesh and come to the Spirit so that Satan can grieve bitterly over its foolishness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.